Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's that time again, folks. Time for the world-famous motion picture Retribution Power Hour, presented to you by the illustrious Evening Brothers. Take it away, band.
Okay, we're recording.
Are you 100% sure? Because if we lose this, Lincoln...
I am 100% sure we are recording.
All right.
Are you, like, Lincoln sure or, like, Preston sure?
Are you, like,
sure like Preston sure is less, right?
Right.
So I'm Lincoln sure.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour. This is not my episode.
This is Preston's episode.
This is Preston's episode.
Oh, I guess it is... Damn, this is my episode, isn't it?
Yeah, and you should be ashamed.
Why would I be ashamed?
I don't know. I am Brother John, I guess, because we got to get this trainer rolling.
And I am Brother Lincoln.
Brother Preston.
We got to get this bullet trainer rolling. That's right. We're talking about bullet train, everybody.
If only we were talking about bullet train. So this is our first live in-person podcast.
Yeah.
And it is deeply uncomfortable.
It's good.
I hate this.
It's good and we're all happy about it.
The fact that we're at this table and it feels like just complete utter darkness on all sides.
It's a strange choice.
I wish I had brought like a bunch of cardboard rectangles that I could put your faces in so that it was more normal for me, but we just don't have that.
Right now I feel like I'm making a plan to do a heist.
Well, that's after. That's our second podcast.
Yeah, it's called Heist Friends.
Heist Living
Living the Heist Life.
The Heist Tie. It's called Heist Tie.
There we go.
Heist School Musical.
Heist School
Musical. Dang it. Preston, what movie did you make us watch?
I made you guys watch The Lost City.
You did.
I sure did.
You did. And it was fun. It was pretty fun.
It was kind of fun. It had
Preston, it was pretty fun.
It made me laugh, and it was trying to make me laugh, so.
It made me cry.
It wasn't trying to make John
cry. It was not trying to do that. I'm just having a rough go of it.
So we're really at a disadvantage in two ways. One, we're recording in person, and two, the movie wasn't that bad. The
movie was pretty fun, so we got to bring it this episode. Not sure what it is. I don't know, Preston. Whatever it is, we got to find it, and then we got to bring it.
We got to bring it. So, Preston, why don't you go get it?
Preston, could you just go grab it for
us? And then show it to us.
Just grab it, and then display it.
And we will, after it's been displayed, we'll kind of do our good work.
Yeah, and then we're going
to
bring it.
Are you introducing a visual element to this auditorium?
No, we're actually literally requesting that you do what you do best and introduce a visual element to this podcast.
So what
Excellent.
Is happens?
So what happens, Preston? So this movie has...
He forgot what happened.
We just finished this movie 30. You know, it's literally the post credit scene. Just
it does sort
it
of
really
race.
Throws you off.
It does sort of neuralize you to watch it again.
Spoilers alert! There's a end credit scene in this movie. Mid credit scene. I'm sorry.
There was plenty of credits when we stopped it.
Well, I apologize.
You should.
I'm deeply
okay.
Embarrassed.
Now kiss. You said sorry. Being the one in the middle between you two, I feel like I have to negotiate all of your disagreements.
All the sexual tension.
Just the, you know, thick sexual tension you would cut with a pair of Costco scissors.
Specifically Costco scissors?
Yeah, I meant to say Cutco, but I said Costco. So here we are.
Why did you have to specify where the scissors were from? Because why couldn't you have just said scissors?
Because I was imagining those, like, really thick scissors.
Hey, you know what? I got it. So this is about an author.
This is a movie about an author played by Sandra Bullock, whose name is, like...
Yeah, so this movie is about an author played by Sandra Bullock. who gets kidnapped by Harry Potter, of all people, looking for a lost treasure in the jungle on an island. Channing Tatum has to come.
Tipsy Chutney at your service.
Tipsy Chutney.
I'll take you anywhere on the south end of London, if you please. I'll
sweep your chimneys, it's Chipsy Chipsman. I don't even remember our own name. It's me, Chipsy.
I'm not all there again.
It's me, Chipsy Chipsman.
It's me, Chopsy Tiddlywinks. I'm his wife. I'll make you a meat pie.
I'm here to serve you breakfast. And my bed and breakfast, that's what I call it. Chipsy Chips Chips, bed and breakfast and chips.
But we don't serve chips.
Chipsy Chips Chips, fish and chips and beds and breakfast and chips.
I'm Chips and Chutney.
This here is my kid, Chipsy Chips Chips.
I love him up so dearly.
I love him so much.
I wish he hadn't died in that chimney.
He's a ghost now.
He's a ghost.
Woo!
He's also a horse, I guess.
This fiction has gone a little too far for me.
Okay, what's this podcast? What's this movie about?
You peeks. Nothing we can say about this movie will be funnier than that.
Then what? Chips and chutney? And trip a taxi driver? From the south end.
I like when we just sort of throw everything at the wall and hope for the best.
We just kept going. So anyways, it's Channing Tatum. That's his real name. Little did you know. That's his real name.
Channing Tatum?
His name is Channing Tatum.
And he went with it.
And he's like, okay, that's my name.
He could have been Channing Diesel.
This movie is about what?
He gets but his rescue. She gets kidnapped. He has to come in and rescue her from Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Who's looking great, by the way.
Really? Like, the facial hair really frames his face well.
It does a great job.
Sorry. And somehow it makes him look younger, though.
It does kind of make him look younger.
I have no idea how old he is. He could be 29 still. He could be in his, like, late 40s. I would have no clue.
Hijinks ensue. Brad Pitt sort of appears and then disappears and
yes,
then somehow reappears.
Yeah.
Which was a bold move in a movie of... I don't know that there was that many bold decisions in that movie.
There were about three and we're going to for sure talk about
it. We're going to talk about each one. Okay, let's talk about Brad Pitt first of all.
Can we talk about Brad Pitt?
In a cinema landscape filled with, you know, like trying to get people to cameo and having characters that are... I feel like the trope of, like, one character who's way more capable and attractive than the other is pretty common.
Yeah.
And to have Brad Pitt enter into the movie, just wreck shit up for 20 minutes, like, just absolutely, like, pull the plot forwards, like, as far as he possibly could, and then just get shot in the head and be gone from the rest of the movie, like... I don't know. There's nothing to make fun of in that choice. It was
no,
wonderful.
It's impossible to make fun of because it's maybe the best choice a movie has ever made.
It was
because it set you up for this. Like they did such a good job setting up the dynamic between him and Chorchy Chorsman, and it was like they did. I love that they set that up to be a long running gag where he like feels Channing Tatum feels like he's better than him, and then they just shoot him through the noggin. No more.
Yeah,
no more Brad.
They could have broadcast that he wasn't going to be there by, like, not committing to the jokes already.
Sure, or having him be, like, a regular nice guy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. Like, they set up a long
awesome
character arc for him.
Guy
then... They set up a twist where he's bad.
Yeah, they did. I was like, oh, is he going to be bad? Because he seems, like, too capable right now. Yeah, but just to have him get shot in the head was a genuinely wonderful decision by the filmmakers.
I think... Is there anything? I mean,
can we talk about the mid credit scene now, or do
yeah,
we have to wait?
Sure, yeah, that's fine.
That just came out of nowhere.
It really did. He survived.
And can you tell us what is the mid credit scene before
so,
you just?
Well, so the mid credit scene is, Channing Tatum.
Wow, did you start by trying to come
you know,
up with a joke
I,
name?
I
and
did.
Then you
I did, and then I just lost it. What were you saying earlier? Something chip chip tiddlywinks? Chip chip tiddlywinks. There was definitely a tiddlywinks.
Yeah, there was
chip, chip tiddlywinks
yeah.
is
chip,
a different
chip,
character, but we could engage
oh,
that
I
fiction if you want to.
I don't think that's necessary.
Chip chip tiddlywinks is Mr. Monopoly's brother.
Chip chip tiddlywinks is the manager of a dark empire. Chip chip tiddlywinks. Winks.
The guy who created the game Loretta of life. The game of life.
Are meditating, and then Brad Pitt just sort of appears. They say, oh, we thought you got shot in the head. And apparently, because you only use 10% of your brain, you can just sort of like come back to life and just not use that 10%. And it is explained that Brad Pitt now has some anger issues that he needs to work out through meditation. And then proceeds to do a very strange sort of stare.
Is it a bullet train
setup? I'm giving some thought. Is there a chance that he just continues? Yeah, because doesn't he have anger issues that he's working
on? Right, right. And see, I started thinking about this after you made the bullet train connection. And I am terrified to say this, but this might be a bullet train prequel.
A prequel to bullet train.
Prequel to bullet train.
Because it perfectly sets up his arc as being, nope, I'm done with this kind of work. This last job went bad. Nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
And now he's all enlightened.
Okay, at risk of spoiling Bullet Train for one of the members who hasn't seen it.
You haven't seen Bullet Train?
I haven't seen Bullet Train.
You know what? I am really disappointed now that we didn't watch Bullet Train.
No, Bullet Train is way too good for this podcast.
Would have been so, so, so much better.
At the risk of spoiling Bullet Train, she shows up. Into the bullet train, and she's not this she could be this person, though. There's a chance she just gets really high on the life of managing people.
It's a strange way I
do support the fiction, though. Maybe she's got a twin. Does she talk about a sister at any point?
No.
Then it could be so. Anyway, this is an okay movie.
It's a really okay movie. It's a movie that's like kind of frustratingly clever mm-hmm. in some ways.
Mm-hmm. And also completely oblivious to what it should be.
completely devoid of like it has a couple things where it's almost makes a statement. Like it references themes about if you're too wrapped up in your own headspace, you're not going to go out into the world and actually do what you need to do. It has themes of like getting over grief. It has themes of finding love and love is more important than money, but it never really commits to any of those. But it doesn't not commit to those in interesting ways.
Right. It doesn't fill that gap with anything that's particularly engaging.
No. Which is why Brad Pitt coming back to life and going, oh, even though I got shot in the head, you only use 10% of your brain anyway, so I just lost that 10%. Like, that was the kind of absurdism that I feel like this movie could have actually really used.
I would have really appreciated
it. Because it's not like the writers, you could tell, are clever. You could tell that they knew what they were doing. I just wish they were doing something better,
more interesting.
You were doing something that I cared more about.
You're disappointed that they wasted all of their time and effort and energy on this movie.
Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
A better one. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. No, we can't find our
phone. We have to have it.
This is not good.
You know, what are we supposed to even talk about? I'm trying to think. Is there...
I feel like we've gone through the majority of the plot. The big spoiler.
There's a little bit of a subplot where her agent is trying to save her.
Oh, yeah.
And there's
she
an,
just gets to
kind of
hang out.
A very bad airplane. Can we talk about how bad the sets are for all of... Anytime there's an interior vehicle.
We can definitely talk about that.
Because the tank is way too big on the inside.
Yeah,
to be
for
realistic.
The size of tank that we see.
For the size of a Jeep. And then inside it's like a living room.
The plane is a semi-truck that they just sort of stacked some chickens in and called it a day.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a goat.
Which did any of the goat...
The interior goat scenes are really not as... They're really underwhelming.
The interior of the goat.
The goat, yeah.
Did the goat...
Yeah, when I'm inside a goat, I expect...
No. Lincoln, I cannot hear you say that right now. I'm not in an emotional place where I can hear you say that.
I know. I started saying it, then I was like, wait, they're here. They're like next to me.
We can't just hang up
Lincoln,
the call.
We can't just hit mute right now. Yeah. We actually have to listen to you.
To hear your dumb shit.
I don't know if you know this, but we have a collective mute button that just sort of mutes you for a little bit.
It's sort of mute? So,
yeah, it's just really quiet.
Is that just Preston who stops paying attention? He's like, oh, it's like I sort of muted him.
That's what he calls his beer, is his sort of mute button.
He turns away from the camera and takes a shot of whiskey. It's got sort of mute written in like masking tape on the label.
No, the goat joke. Who was asking about the goat jokes?
I was
none
asking
of them. None of them landed.
Not a single one,
no.
Right? Okay.
Also, like, kind of a weirdly stereotypical portrayal.
Yeah.
Like, here's... Yeah, it has Oscar from The Office. And I guess it maybe is just because you see him not doing a voice in The Office.
Yeah.
But when he is doing a voice, you're like, is this? Like, how do we feel about that?
Poor guy. Like, John Krasinski moved from The Office, and he went on and did other things. This Oscar just... He's just sort of in some stuff, and you see him, and you go, man, he was good in The Office at one point.
I remember a few scenes with that guy.
I remember when he was funny at some point, I assume.
Thinking back, was he?
Not sure. I'm not sure. Lincoln.
Yeah, there's some goat jokes that don't land. So let's see. What else we got in this movie?
I feel like a running theme for just, like, comedies within the last decade is it's extremely horny and not sexual at all.
Yeah.
Which I have strange feelings about.
Terribly, that is a terribly good way to put that.
Thanks.
Well, I think it tries to have it both ways, where it wants to, like, make sex jokes, make dick jokes and whatever, but then it's also, like, wants to be sincere.
And for moms.
And for moms who, yeah, who would be really, like, put off if it actually was made jokes about sex.
Yeah, so, yeah, they'd be like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, like, Channing Tatum's butt's fine.
Right. Oh, it's real fine. It's extremely fine, Lincoln.
Men's butts are funny.
Yeah.
But, like, there wasn't going to be an identical... Like, if they did the identical scene with Sandra Bullock instead, it would be a much different movie, and yes. I think it would have lost the tone a little bit.
That's true, it would have.
John, don't treat into your inner mind, inner space right now. And try to incept it out of me. Don't incept this thought that I had. I'm just wait, I'll tell it to you.
It's fun doing this in the room because you're really more aware of where you're gonna cut.
Oh yeah.
In the episode. I feel weird about going into more details right now because the point of this first segment is that we just talk about the movie, we've sort of done that.
Yeah.
I think it's
an okay movie.
It's all right. It's okay. It's an okay time.
There's a couple of good jokes. There's a couple of jokes that don't land. But I don't know. Like, is it a real complaint against a comedy if you go, I don't know, a couple of the jokes didn't land?
I don't think it is, because, like, most of my jokes don't land.
Yeah.
It was a weird time for you guys to laugh. I love it. It feels good.
Just saying, comedy, not all the jokes landed. Sandra Bullock's in it. She's fine.
She's good. She's doing
Channing Tatum in it. He's, like, a little better.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good time.
He's a good time.
Brad Pitt's the best.
Brad Pitt is the best. Daniel Radcliffe is also on the quite better fun. Side.
I do like Daniel Radcliffe. I want to see him do more just unhinged shit.
I feel like that's the only character he's been, like, he literally is
exactly the character
in the last, like,
Now You See Me, too.
And Harry Potter.
Two Now, right. Two You, Two See, Two Me. Can we just, for a second, can we talk about why... Is the sequel to Now You See Me not called And Now You Don't?
Well, it wouldn't be called And Now You Don't. It'd be called Now You Don't. And then the third one could be Now You See Me Again, bitch.
I'm back.
It's me again, idiot.
Just, did that not bother you? That it was called Now You See Me Too? No,
it did. It definitely
did.
Yeah,
Now You See Me. We know that Now You See Me is a phrase.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were going to make that the first movie, then make a second one.
Now You Don't.
I think they just do Now... Now You See Me, colon, mm-hmm. And Now You Don't.
Now You See Me. Extra, so you're long. Suggesting it should go, Now You See Me, and then the 2 years later, called, Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
And then the next movie, exactly. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, Now You Don't.
Now You Don't again. And then the third one, fourth one, is called The Prestige.
It's called The Prestige.
So they sort of backed their way into that one.
It's kind of a Rambo situation.
Now You See Me 3, The Prestige.
No, it's just called The Prestige. And then one after that's called C. But it's the letter.
And then the sixth one, The Now You See Me.
The Now You See Me. Guys, we got to stop talking about movies that would better fit the tone of our podcast.
We really do.
Let's talk about, Preston, I know we save, like, why you chose this movie, but I genuinely, what was your experience watching us watch it and us getting increasingly, like, this is fine, Preston. What are you, like, what's going on?
You know,
this is fine.
You know, the problem with that was the more that you guys were enjoying it, the more I started enjoying it, and the more I was like, I don't know why I picked this.
Is there any chance that just us watching a movie in the same room together brings it up about eight notches?
I feel like that could be a thing.
I don't know. We watched freaking the reboot of The Italian Job, and that was one of
I
the
don't
worst
remember
movies
that
I've ever seen in
at
my life.
All.
It was so utterly forgettable. There's a scene with Mini Coopers.
Yeah, no, I remember the Italian Job, Lincoln. I don't remember watching that with you.
Oh, we watched it here.
With you?
With me.
Was I there?
Yeah, because you brought it.
Pressed? I don't.
You had to have. There's no other way we would have had access to it.
Interesting.
I don't remember that at all.
At all.
Oh, well, we did watch it, and it was quite bad.
This is a weird moment.
It was a very weird moment. Because like, do we just double down and gaslight him into thinking that we didn't watch it?
Did we watch it? Because I don't think we did.
I feel like we did.
I don't think it's gaslighting if I think it's the truth.
Right. I also don't think
we watched two movies. We watched Ocean's 11 and then we watched The Italian Job.
I also don't remember watching Ocean's 11 with you.
It was a long time ago. I promise we did, though. Anyways.
I've been handed a beautiful note by my wife.
Oh, yes?
Who's in the room with us.
She's just so terrified of speaking out loud in the podcast.
I'm assuming these are three separate bespoke notes, but I'm going to read them as one.
Can you read them in a silly voice?
No, I don't think I'm going to have to, because here's what I have. Sandra's dress... I'm going to... Ooh, like a slam poem.
Yeah. Get ready. Get your snaps ready.
Get your snaps
We're recording in surround sound. This is going to be really, really visceral.
Sandra's dresses. The underwhelming treasure... Mountain Anus.
Is that the title of a book? Is that the book in the movie? Sandra's Dress, The Underwhelming Treasure, Mountain Anus.
Semicolon. No, those are the chapters. Those are the chapter titles.
I feel like a semicolon would be an underwhelming treasure.
What? What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything.
You're right.
There's a bit where the anus farts, though.
That's kind of funny.
It's funny.
Yeah,
it's
wind
funny
goes
little,
through the anus.
Yeah, and it leaves a little poof.
Preston, that was another
Preston,
joke.
Preston, that was a joke. There's jokes
that
in this
a
movie,
joke.
Preston.
It worked.
What do you have to say for myself?
I have nothing to say for myself. I picked a decent movie. Now I have to sit here and lie in this terrible hole that I've dug.
You really do.
But I have nothing
to defend
myself. The
thing
is,
we also have to sit in this terrible hole.
This is a different kind of punishment that he's brought upon us.
It's the punishment where we have trouble, like, making our content.
Right.
This is... The punishment is that the podcast dies.
Punishment to our listeners. All six
maybe,
of them.
Maybe that's why I chose this movie.
Oh, this is your swan song?
Darcy's already here. We have your replacement ready.
Ready in the wings.
Well, she's clearly so much better at it than me. So.
I mean, she contributes about as much up to this point.
That's
there was a scene of a mountain vista, and Darcy just went, "Aha, CGI." Like, okay, thanks.
Oh.
What were the other notes besides Mountain Anus?
Underwhelming treasure.
Yeah.
I feel like actually trying to go for that it was love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is the real
treasure
is dumb.
Mm.
Well, I don't want to be this guy. You're the only one who's not in a relationship in this, so maybe that's the problem.
But this isn't about being in a relationship. This is about...
It is sort of, though, because Preston, did that kind of work for you? Because that kind of worked for me.
Yeah,
it was like,
fine.
Oh, that's cute, and it's nice that there wasn't some dumb treasure that they were trying to find.
No, but you can have
always
that.
Always a dumb treasure.
But since it's a movie...
Yeah, it is a
then
movie.
You should also get the real treasure, which is
why?
Money.
What would you... What would we have
in
helped?
In what treasure hunting movie do they actually get the money?
I mean, sure. Not even that they get the money, but that they see the treasure.
They saw the treasure. They saw
the treasure. It was
headdress.
Emotional treasure.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The
headdress.
That was the treasure.
No,
yeah.
But then it should have been like, oh,
Lincoln,
but then
did you miss the movie?
But
it
then there's
emotional...
another real treasure.
Why?
And the real treasure is like tons of diamonds or something.
Why do you want all these diamonds?
Why?
I don't know.
Can I ask you? No, this is a genuine question. What would the movie have... What would have improved in the film thematically, visually... To see a bunch of dog shit CGI treasure,
how would you have
felt better about that?
I would have liked it.
What about it?
I like treasure.
I know you like shiny shit, Lincoln. That's not what we're here for. There's plenty of that.
That's what you just asked me.
No, I'm asking you from a film perspective. You are dying on this hill. What
I'm
would have been?
I'm not trying to die on this hill. I just said
you brought it up. You brought it up, Lincoln.
Wait. Lincoln brings it up. I.e., ergo, he is dying on this hill.
You've defended it as well, so what would be improved?
You want me to dig my heels in so bad that you're just assuming that I'm digging in my heels.
Lincoln,
where
we don't,
I'm freely admitting.
We don't want you to, but it's just what you do.
I'm freely admitting. I don't think it would add anything, but I would like to see it.
Okay.
Oh, I see.
That's all I needed. That's all it would take. If only I had said that earlier.
That's all I needed to hear.
If only you didn't act like you were going to dig your heels in and die on a hill like you always do.
Like, yeah. If only we didn't have years of reinforcement for thinking that was what was going to happen.
Don't smash the table. That's all. We don't want to shake the mic.
We do want to shake the mic.
No.
I want this to be unlistenable.
Like
I feel like we've made it. Have we made it?
What time is it?
We're talking for 25 minutes.
25 minutes is a great time.
That's a great time to find your
friend. Amount of time.
I think this might be 20 minutes of silence.
This might be a shorter find your friend.
I don't think that's
a shorter episode.
I don't think that's true at all. So I freely admit that I might have miscalculated how much you guys were gonna like Tomb Truths and a Lie. I'm free to admit that. I would like to make it up to you. I have come up with a completely new segment that I think is really, really good.
It's called
Tomb Truths and a Lie, but the two in Tomb is the number two because this is the sequel to Tomb Truths and a Lie.
Okay, you know what? As I have a Word document on my computer called Tomb Truths and a Lie again. And I started making one, and then you texted us, don't worry, I got Find Your Funny, it'll blow Tomb Truths and a Lie out of the water. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, never mind, I don't need to work on this.
Don't need to. Tomb Truths and a Lie, but the two in Tomb is the number two because this is the sequel to Tomb Truths and a Lie.
Is that just your explanation or is that part of
that's the title? That's okay. The full title. So we have two rounds. Now I have adjusted the game because you guys were fucking rude to me. So
okay. I feel like that was justifiable.
You're not gonna like this. The first round is pretty much like the original game.
Great.
Oh boy, the same. Wow, really running out of creativity.
So I have three facts to give to you, and you have to decide which of these facts is a lie. Are you ready, Lincoln?
Yes.
Are you ready,
Preston?
I was born ready.
Preston was not born ready, but he has become ready.
He's become ready.
Fact number one. The Lost City is Sandra Bullock's 11th film to gross $100 million-plus domestically.
Okay.
Dollars,
thank you.
U.S. dollars.
Oh, great, great.
Fact number two. Brad Pitt's first job was dancing in a chicken suit to draw in customers at an El Pollo Loco restaurant on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. And fact number three. The Lost City director Adam Neese's next project was originally going to be a Lego movie spinoff, but that was shelved, so he is now directing the upcoming animated Garfield film. Starring Christopher Pratt. Christian Pratt.
What?
I think.
Christian Pratt is going to be in a third children's franchise voicing a character he has no business voicing?
Yeah, and Lincoln, if that's the part you're not believing, you got to get on the internet, because that part is definitely true. I can't speak to the other bits, because that's the whole point of the game.
Okay.
Did you not know that Chris Pratt was going to be Garfield himself?
No, I didn't.
I did not.
You guys, both of you, I am the Grim Reaper of Truth who gets to deliver to you the news that Chris Pratt
Hey, John, are you that obsessed with Garfield that you follow Garfield news about the movie?
No, there was a trailer and it's obviously Christopher Pratt's voice.
Christopher?
Yeah.
Okay,
anyway,
Pratt?
Would you guys like to
Christmas
discuss
Pratt.
What you... Christmas
Christmas Pratt is going to voice Santa Claus in an animated movie.
Christmas Pratt.
The joke doesn't get better than that the longer I try to. You're trying to spin it,
it's just
trying
so
to weave it into a new joke, but just Christmas Pratt is powerful enough. What about all the other, like Christmas Evans?
No, it's
Christmas
not.
Christmas Pine?
No, it's nothing. It's nothing. No. Christmas Pratt is so good, though. I would go to a church of Christmas Pratt. Do you guys want to deliberate a little bit?
Yeah, let's deliberate a little
bit.
Can
we play a little bit of my game that I worked so hard for?
Yes,
you
yes,
chuckle
you
fucks.
Okay. Okay, here's... Okay, the first fact seems totally believable, but he could have just changed the number at the beginning.
Mm.
Like, it could have actually been... what's her name? Sandra Bullock's, you know, 8th film
right.
or 12th film
right.
or something. But I think we can look at him. This is real life. We can.
This is true.
I am a fucking stone face man.
I don't think. I think John would think. My wife is tickling me. I don't think that that would be the spirit of the game.
God damn it, you're right. It's not.
To just change the number.
That's not the spirit of the game.
I think John prides himself on inventing the lie from, like, not. Like, he wants to make up a bigger story than that. I feel like the Brad Pitt dancing in a chicken costume for a Pollo Loco.
That's just like, ridiculous yeah. enough that it has to be true.
But, like, you've seen what Brad Pitt looked like when he was young, and I can't imagine that he would be in, like, the interview process and they'd be like, no, we don't want to see your face. Like, we're going to put you in a costume. Like, that's the part where I would not believe that someone who looks like him would ever be a man.
I almost think that's the lie. No, I think the first one's a lie.
The first one's a lie?
I think the first one's a lie.
You guys can choose different answers if you'd like
to. I'm going
to
choose...
I'm going first one.
I'm choosing the second one.
You're choosing the second one. You're choosing the first one.
First one.
You're both wrong, idiots. It's the third one? It's the third one. The only thing that is not true about that is that he's directing Garfield the movie. I love that I was basing that on the fact that I knew you guys wouldn't know who's directing the new Garfield, and I got to deliver you the news that there is a new Garfield. Round two.
Wait, there's no Brad Pitt danced in a chicken.
Yeah, house? Brad Pitt danced
in a chicken. Oh, I'm sorry. No other context for this fact?
Do you want to reconcile that truth in your mind?
Because yes, I need to.
Take your time.
Okay, I'll do it. Okay, we're good.
All right, we're good. Preston, did you want to reconcile any truths?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
No. I've made my peace.
I can't believe I got one over on you guys. That's one for John, by the way. I'm keeping score now. It's one for me, nerds.
How many rounds of this are there?
There are two rounds.
There are two rounds.
There's always going to be two rounds unless I choose for there to be three rounds.
Might the third.
So round two.
We cannot pick any more movies with tombs in them.
Oh, it's not gonna stop me.
Oh, there's no way. Yeah. That would stop it.
That's never. That's
true because he could pick movies with tombs.
That hasn't been the problem up to this point. Round two. I want you to tell me
round
which
tomb.
Round tomb. Thank you, Preston.
Oh, cool. That means bonus round. Double points.
Tell me which of these reviews is not for The Lost City.
Oh, okay. I like this. This is better.
I have.
This is a better game, Jonathan.
Shut the fuck up. It is better, actually. I felt good about this. I got all those facts in the first round, and I was like, well, I can't throw those away. all right. Review number one. And it's a quote, and I will read it as written. Great. Typos and all. I've posted an online review once in my life for a build-it-yourself dresser with parts so poorly fabricated that they might as well have been cardboard. I felt the right thing to do was to warn a consumer against making the same mistake I did. I felt the same obligation to warn against spending 120 minutes of your life watching this film. Utterly terrible, there is no conflict. I'll sum up every scene in the following example. 2 + 2 = 4, but we need it to equal 5, otherwise the world explodes. Oh, good news, 2 + 2 = 5, problem solved. Pathetic. And that was given 1 star. By Sleuth Magoo.
Am I? There's like every. Is this from Letterboxd?
Yeah.
Okay. There's this like vast subset of Letterboxd reviews that you like reading them, and then you just get this hint of like alt-right reactionism. It just like like appears like a specter and then disappears, and you're like wait, was that? Did I see a little bit of like red pill right there? Like, what did I just see?
Ooh. Review number two. Not much to review on this, apart from how it made it from a thought of a. I hate the way all of these are written. Not much to review on this, apart from how it made it from a thought of a movie to actually being produced. If I was to think to myself that I'll copy a plot which has been beat out too many times and have no originality whatsoever and try to get it on the big screen, I honestly would have thought I'd have been laughed back to the drawing board. It's sad that because it's got some big actors who are excellent in plenty of movies that it's been hyped up beyond belief. What a shame that this is considered to be a blockbuster these days. Though this is where it gets a little introspective. The whole movie was dead and I couldn't stop watching because I was in shock as to how it even got filmed. Typical storyline, I could have told you how it went from before watching. No excitement, no twists, no making you guess or wonder what is coming next. Don't want to offend anyone who enjoyed the movie. We all have our own likes and dislikes, but this is awful. This is so awful, I have had to leave a review in hope that someone I know will know what I mean and save some money by at least not going to the cinema and just waiting until it's on TV. One star, Connor Caffrey.
So that one...
That one's way... That one's definitely real.
Yeah, it feels like it applies. I think the... Yeah, the talking about there's not written. A lot to talk about.
Too poorly written.
And then, like, somehow manufacturing enough to talk about, which one, that's an inspiration for us three right now. Like, if this guy could do it, then we can. But they weird both have this weird theme of, well, I needed to warn other people about this movie. Mm. Okay, give us the last one.
Last one. Hey, gang, this movie's a pretty good time. 3 stars, John Bonjour.
He did say it was pretty good.
He did.
He really and he
did.
Said, I think he said that's how I would
you know,
review it. I think it's the first one.
I feel
pretty
one.
Confident that it's the first one.
But did he give 3 stars, though?
Out of 5?
Out of 5. It is letterboxed.
3 stars. I feel like it's a solid, like, 2. Solid 2.5. I think, but I don't know. John's more generous than we are.
Mm, that's true.
Well, that's a fun way to say I have no taste.
No, I know. I'm specifically
John's kinder.
That you have no taste. I think it's the first one.
I think it's the first one.
The movie's clearly not a mess. Like it's competently edited. No, it's not like a train wreck. Like it has decisions that don't pan out. But
bullet
it's,
train wreck.
What? Yeah, my get. Well. You can guess what you want. My guess is the first one.
First one.
Right. God, he's just agreed. Like, we're about to
fight. Well, I guess you are continuing to be tied because, yes, it was the first one.
What was that a review for?
Was for Uncharted.
I do feel that way about Uncharted.
That seems like a fair read for Uncharted. The Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour is brought to you by itsallgoingtoendoneday.com. Your source for all the worst things going on in our little hellscape that we call Earth. Want to make sure you have a clear gauge of just how terrible everything is? We've got you covered. From huge breaking stories like natural disasters and war crimes, to smaller, more personal accounts like that time little Susie dropped her ice cream down a storm drain, failing to save her dog from being obliterated by her stepdad's Ford F-150. The ad copy here asks me for a personal account. It says, oh God. It says, share the worst thing that's ever happened to you, preferably through tears. So I'm just going to go ahead and not do that. Thank you for that. It'sallgoingtoendoneday.com.
Visit itsallgoingtoendoneday.com and use our coupon code.
itsallgoingtoendoneday.com.
No, it's NPRVH.
NPRVH/yes.
/yes and get 20% of your life taken away from you.
Yeah.
Not your lifetime, your current life. Like it'll be 20% less fulfilling.
Yeah. I want to peek behind the curtain real quick for you guys and just let you know that as I was writing that ad copy, because that for those of you who are sad about the fiction, not all of our ads are real. Most of them are. I'm sorry, Lincoln. I had to go through about 5 different URLs because I looked them up and they were all just like radically right-wing Christian, like,
oh, like it's all gonna apocalyptic,
yeah, just like, here's what the Bible says about the end of the world. And I was like, oh no. So this movie. What is there to say really at this point?
Okay, I have an idea.
Okay.
Oh boy.
We're gonna go in a circle,
mm-hmm.
and each of us is going to have to come up with an original new thing to say, and we're gonna just keep going. We're going to see if we can build this up into something.
What does that mean? Like a one word?
About the movie. Like you have to just say a sentence, like some statement about
the
movie.
I like the one word. One word and we'll
eventually one word
somewhere.
And we assemble a thought about the movie?
Yeah, this is
okay, so one word story. So we'll go this way.
This is fun when we experiment
Preston,
mid-podcast.
Preston, me, John. Okay?
All right.
You start us.
It.
Felt.
Fine. Eternally. Good job, guys!
No, wait.
That was pretty good.
Wait, it felt fine eternally because
I
hated
how
I
picked
this
movie. Sign Preston.
Great.
Wow, that was a horrible choice.
That was 30 seconds of content we just achieved.
Content, yeah.
You're welcome, everyone.
I don't know what I thought that was going to be, but...
I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but now it's a YouTube short, baby.
I mean,
really
trying to think about... Well, my original idea was just for each of us to say something.
Okay, we can play with your... We can play in your original space.
So I'll start, and we'll go the same direction.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought when Daniel Radcliffe kept getting interrupted, he played it well, but that is a trope that I really hate in modern action movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
When a villain is monologuing and they keep getting interrupted.
Yeah. No, that's... I completely agree. Let's also, side note, and then I'll get to my actual thought. Wow, this is working. Like, okay, from just from the in-fiction perspective, you wouldn't honk the little horn, right?
No, like, you wouldn't. You wouldn't let people know you were there.
Of course not. That would be idiotic. Why would you ever do that?
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, I would do anything for that cheese just plate.
The cheese warehouse.
Cheese warehouse.
Seriously.
Yeah, it did look pretty good. Even with a like weird oversaturation.
It didn't look pretty good, Lincoln. It was a table full of cheese.
And he literally said, I didn't know what kind of cheese you liked, so I got all of them.
I got all of them.
All of cheese.
Do you understand, my two closest friends, do you understand what I would do
for... all the
every
cheese.
Conceivable cheese.
There would be
so
no
many
like
terrible things.
There is
like
no end.
Like, what do I like about this cheese? And if you don't like it, you could just like throw it over.
You'd just
your
be
shoulder.
Like, oh well, there's another 600 cheeses that I can try.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what, gang. I've tried a lot of cheeses, and I have disliked one, and it's Brie. So
I don't like Brie either
because it tastes like dust. Why
yeah,
would anyone?
It doesn't offer enough. It doesn't bring enough to the table.
No, it just tastes like an old lady telling you a story.
Yeah, it's like this movie.
Yeah.
It's neither delicious nor shocking.
The Brie of film.
Can that be a new thing that we do?
Compare it to a cheese.
You're
saying at the end of a podcast we should make a metaphor about what it feels like to watch a movie. You're right. That's a great idea.
That's a good ass idea.
Okay,
President.
Your turn to make a statement.
I'm not cutting fucking any of this.
See, this is where this ground grinds to a halt.
Why? Because you just don't want
when
to?
When Preston has to make one original statement? When he can't just agree?
Look, everything I've wanted to say, I've already said.
You could talk about the tech if you want to.
The tech?
Yeah.
That's Lincoln's job.
Okay. I was trying to give you a lifeline, but
yeah,
fuck me, geez. I guess.
The rock climbing scenes were...
We didn't even think about
asking
Preston.
Was there
Preston
a rock climbing scene?
There was.
Yeah, they climb up
right
the rocks.
Right after when they're at the waterfall.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Preston, continue.
Incredibly unrealistic and bad. And also, they clearly see the two henchmen like walk up the valley mm-hmm. and then decide that their best course of action is to go up directly into their line of view.
Yeah, that's about it. What makes the climbing unrealistic?
Please don't say that it's he gets up in her junk.
I will.
Because I assume that's proper climbing technique.
Yeah, isn't that what belaying is? Because if it's not, I have some conversations
you
to have
some
with my climbing instructor.
You really got to go apologize to a lot of folk.
I hate that so much. It was just bad.
What
just
about
the
it?
The footwear.
Was bad. The
footwear.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that the fact that it was they weren't wearing the correct shoes, which is acknowledged in the movie, and that it's wet rock because they're by a waterfall.
Hey,
those
Lincoln.
Are the two
problems. Hey, Lincoln. You were asking for original thoughts, so here you go. Beggars can't be choosers.
You chose
yep,
this movie,
but beggars can have standards, right?
Here's my next thought. Whoa, yeah, this is hard. This is difficult. I thought that the romance ranged from barely believable to I don't really get it.
Mm.
Between I cannot Sandra Bullock
yeah.
and Tanny Tatum.
And, yep.
And
can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Do you know that his name is Channing Tatum? Because you say it with such confidence, you say Tanning Tatum every time, that
okay,
I'm not 100% sure that you know.
I started saying Tanning Tatum as a joke,
okay.
And I mind-freaked myself that unless I am reading his name
yeah.
on the screen, I cannot tell you for sure that I know that it's Channing Tatum and not Tanning Tatum.
You don't know. All you know is it's the guy from that movie Dog.
Yeah, that movie.
His most famous film. Where he dog, has a dog. The one where he's got a dog. Can you guys imagine being in that room? We're going to talk about that for a second. It's not another, a good enough movie.
Another
to put,
worst movie.
It's
that
not, it's not a good enough movie. Podcast. Not a bad enough movie to talk about. But can you imagine being in, I believe, Sony's room, and you're just like, "Hey, we got a movie about Channing Tatum and a dog," and you're like, "I have a title for it. It's Dog.
It's Dog."
Like, I want it. I want other movies to be titled like that.
I just love, like, the idea of a movie called Dog about a dog coming out, and every other person that's made a movie about a dog is like, shit.
They're like, God damn it.
We could have just called it Dog.
We could have just named it Dog this whole time.
So long workshopping the name.
Jurassic, the writers of Jurassic Park are like, are you fucking kidding me?
Just called it Dinosaur?
We could have called it Dinosaur? And then a movie called Dinosaurs came out. Oh, that, I guess that was your original thought, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was my receiver okay. turn now.
I didn't like the bit where the volcano was going off and the stage shook.
It didn't
in such a way that was like Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah, it was definitely just some camera shaking.
Yeah.
I feel that the volcano going off, this movie has a lot of like surprisingly competent setup and payoff. Like they follow the rule of threes and a lot of jokes and they set up funny things to happen later. But that was one that was totally not set up well.
No.
Like, we should have been seeing the volcano get more and more active as the... It felt like, oh, active volcano, and then the movie just keeps going, and then they're like, oh, it erupted!
Oops, is that happening? All the dinosaurs gotta run now from that one Jurassic Park movie that nobody liked.
There's, like, three where there's a volcano, right?
No. Or is there just one? It's just the one.
It just felt like three
it's
movies.
It's pretty long. When you watch it's it. A pretty long movie. It kind of delves into three separate movies.
Clones?
Yeah, well, that's one of three with clones, ironically. Did you guys... I liked the line where he said, don't do mean stuff on bikes.
That was good.
That was a funny line.
I think that this movie... There's a really common trend in modern adventure movies and action movies to make the main characters constantly talking about how ridiculous their situation is. Which really... You know, it gets on my nerves.
It's annoying, but don't annoying. Do mean stuff on bikes is
yeah.
a really
no,
funny
No, what I'm
line.
Saying is, as I think overall, this movie does it pretty well.
Oh, okay.
It's not... It actually is using it as a tool for jokes instead of just a tool to explain away lazy writing.
Mm.
And it also does it to explain away lazy writing, but not exclusively, which
but
is a little bit refreshing.
If it's also for jokes, you can kind of accept it.
Yeah. And also, it's not... It's not trying to be anything bigger. It's not... The conclusion of the movie isn't like, oh, also, it was actually a really big deal. It was like...
That is true. I respect that about this movie. That there, it's at no point is it like, and get ready for Lost City 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. It's not like Uncharted where it's just like this wacky, dumb like comedy. And then it's like, now we're lifting the boat out with a helicopter and we're going to do a sword fight in the air.
Yeah. I like that this movie has a mid-credit scene, and its mid-credit scene is just like, wasn't that an interesting movie we made?
Wasn't it a weird thing we just did?
Yeah, and it's not like, hey, look forward to the next one coming in 2 years.
No, which weirdly makes me think that I would like a next one more.
I would not mind a next one, because now we can do something different with it.
Yeah.
This is Argyle the movie. We haven't said that yet, but
oh,
this
yeah,
is
it
just
is,
the movie Argyle.
It's the plot Argyle. I haven't seen Argyle. Is it terrible? It looks pretty bad.
We could do it here. We could do it on this podcast.
I was watching a movie with my parents, and they really wanted to watch Argyle, and I convinced them to watch Daredevil instead.
Which Daredevil?
The first one.
Extremely, extremely good.
The, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck? One. The Ben Affleck Daredevil.
You had a better time.
I think I did.
Yeah, you definitely did.
One thing I appreciated about this movie is it is just the right amount of movie in this movie. All the hijinks are reasonably fun and well-paced, and it never gets too... At least on this watch, it never got too...
Big for its britches?
Excessive.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. The jokes are funny and cute. The sucking my butt like a Jamba Juice is also quite good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, the whole leeches scene was very good.
Leeches scene was fun.
And he takes off his pants and then she turns him around and just is like trying to think of something to say.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is two in a row where it's been just enough movie for the movie.
Just enough movie. They're both been adventure movies.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe it's easy to make an adventure movie.
I think it's easier to write an adventure
movie. Maybe it's just easy to make a movie.
I think we are.
I think movies are just easy.
I think that's been well established.
Is there anybody that you guys think that you could not defeat in this film in a physical altercation.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, he died though. He got shot in the head.
Oh yeah. So do I have a gun?
No.
Oh well, then none of them.
Not even Daniel
Radcliffe.
Oscar from the. I actually don't. He's feisty. He's got an energy to him that I don't trust.
I think he
just goes straight for your ankles.
Yeah, yeah, he would.
I think he'd try to bite me. Like, I'd be worried about getting bit by Daniel Radcliffe.
The goat, for sure.
Channing Tatum, I think I would worry about getting slapped. But I feel if I have sustained enough slaps, I could land a couple really good punches.
My fear is that none of my punches would do any business to Channing Tatum. Yeah, I think he's got too many muscles
in between him and his fragile bones.
His little bird bones.
Okay. Did you know that Channing Tatum has really fragile bones?
Oh, you mean famed pterodactyl Channing Tatum?
Yeah.
Is it what are we at?
What are we at?
51? That's plenty of time to do cinematic equivalent.
We're gonna spend 9 minutes.
Well, we gotta edit, so probably 12.
Somebody has to give us the next movie.
Yeah, we're good.
We got the next movie.
Okay, let's talk. We really have been on the upslope for Tomb Raider being like, hey, that was okay.
Yeah.
That was like, it wasn't a very good plot. It wasn't well written, but it was slashed to the bone. And so felt really quick and like easy to watch. This movie was like, it's like moderately well written.
This is like a watchable film. Competently executed. Get ready to have your asses handed to you.
I would show it to other people. I'd be like, yeah, let's put on Lost City. So this movie.
I remember my mom showing me this movie. Yeah. And I remember being like, this was actually good. This was okay.
So yeah, let's think of some good equivalent punishments then.
This movie is the cinematic equivalent. Yeah. Oh, does it suck to be interrupted?
I'm sorry. It does. Oh, you're right.
Damn. I sure wonder what that feels like.
Please proceed.
This movie is the cinematic equivalent of ripping a Band-Aid off, being prepared for it to hurt really bad, and it was really just kind of.
And fun. Then it doesn't.
It totally is. Yeah. And your heels underneath, but not completely. So you're like, that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
This is the cinematic equivalent of getting grocery store donuts, where it's like still a donut. It's a solid donut, but you could have got a better donut for about the same amount of money.
This is the equivalent of eating a bucket of popcorn and a couple kernels get in your teeth, but you pick them out.
Pretty easily.
Oh, I want popcorn so bad.
Oh, man, like Cinemark popcorn.
I would love some like really like... painfully salty popcorn.
Oh,
right
I would
now.
Kick some ass for cinematic popcorn right now. This is the cinematic equivalent of starting a movie, but it's like a little too quiet. But the remote's so far away from you that you just like might as well just leave it.
This is a cinematic equivalent where you get ready for bed and then you realize that you're like not actually very tired. But you, like, have already showered and brushed your teeth and gotten all ready. So you're like, I guess I'm going to just, like, lay in bed, I guess. Just, like, wait. This is cinematic equivalent to seeing a big rock on a beach and walking up to it and being like, I bet I could lift that rock up. And then you can.
I feel like we did have it, and then you said that, and now we have to find it again.
It's gone. It's gone.
Sorry.
What's our next movie?
Could this be the cinematic equivalent of replacing a light bulb, and it's a slightly different shade of light bulb than the one you have in the rest of the room, but not so far that you really need to do anything about it.
And occasionally you'll look up and like it reminds you, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you're like, oh no.
But the second you look away, you totally forgot about it.
So your next movie, because I do feel in my heart that we've been watching some pretty okay movies, and I need that to change because that's not what we're about at this juncture.
Mm-hmm.
You will be watching Die Another Day, the Bond film
from.
Wait, is this the discount Bond film that's technically a Bond film, but it was made by another studio?
No, that is Casino Royale. Not what? Not new Casino Royale, old Casino Royale.
Okay, 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 okay.
Die Another Day is the last of Pierce Brosnan's films.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Is there homework associated
Your
with this?
Your homework is non-existent. You have no homework. Actually, no, that's not true. Listen to the song on Spotify, the Die Another Day original song. I believe it's Madonna. And listen to it in its entirety without your eyes bleeding out of your skull.
Okay, great.
That's what I need from you.
Thank you for...
Somebody's got to do it.
Preston's not. Apparently somebody else.
Ceased to be my episode.
But it hasn't, though. Isn't that interesting how that works?
Think about it.
Thank you for listening to the Motion Picture Retribution Power Hour. I have been Brother Preston.
I have been Brother Lincoln.
And I have been Brother John.
I could crash you from here.
Something about something in bones.
Use it.